with us now. Give us ears to hear. Humble our hearts to be ministered by you, to be directed and instructed and convicted, admonished by you, Lord. Whatever your word has for us, may we receive it and may we be changed by it. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah, the kids can go ahead and be dismissed with Miss Sheila. And let's thank her every first Sunday of the month. Sheila B. is on it. So thank you, Sheila. And she's got her Roll Tide shirt on, of course. See some Auburn shirts, some Auburn ties. So good. We all won, so it's all good. Glad you're here. I'm glad everyone won. But seriously, it's good to have you here. It's such a blessing to have you guys here. I know you could have been anywhere. You could have been sleeping in because you're partying late last night after the victory. But you guys are here. And so thank you for that. And I'm excited what the Lord's going to do in us and through us today as we open up His Word and dig in. As you saw the video, we're jumping in to the Apostles' Creed. And last Sunday, we kind of gave a synopsis of what the Apostles' Creed is, why we study it, why it's important for us to jump into it and study it. And so today, we're actually just going to take the first line of the Apostles' Creed. And there's so much depth, there's so much truth in the Apostles' Creed. And the Apostles' Creed is something that we all need to be familiar with, because as Christians in our world today, when we're told to believe something and the next day we're told to believe something else, and even in the church, many of us don't know where to fall on certain issues. And so the creed was created for that very reason. Back in the 3rd and 6th century, this creed was created for that very reason, because people in the church were confused at what they were supposed to believe in and who they were supposed to believe in. And so this creed, which literally means belief, was given to them and given to us today to make sure that we know the bare minimum. As a follower of Jesus Christ, this is the bare minimum of what we're supposed to believe in. If we believe anything less, then we can't call ourselves believers. We can't call ourselves followers of Christ. We need to believe in more than this, but this is the bare minimum that we must adhere to, that we must hold on to. And that's why it was created. And so, again, we're not preaching the creed. We're preaching God's truth through the creed. Because if you take the creed, if you take Scripture and you wring it out, the creed falls out. So this is stuff taken from Scripture directly. It is from the inspired Word of God, although it is not the inspired Word of God. We take it and it reflects God's truth. It's kind of the gospel and the Word of God concentrated into a tiny creed. And so we must be familiar with it. We must adhere to it. And we must allow it to be a filter what we put things through to make sure that we're still in line with the doctrine of God's Scripture. And so that's why we study this creed, because it's very important to know what we believe and then why we believe it. And so that's where we're jumping into. We talked about how as we study the creed, it gives us four things. It gives us symmetry. It makes sure, you know, in our culture, we swing from one side and then the next generation swings to the other. It seems like that's always happening. And so this creed, as we read it, it gives us a good balance of what to believe in, of what to know, of how to study, of how to approach the gospel. So it gives us symmetry. It gives us clarity. What am I supposed to believe in? Well, the creed gives us that clarity of the foundational doctrinal statements that we are to adhere to. It's very clear. It gives us community. We are part of a giant community that is bigger than Brookview, that is bigger than us as individuals, when we adhere and we believe and when we recite the Apostles' Creed. It also gives us counsel. We talked about that last week. As we read it, it counsels us how we conduct ourselves, how we love others, how we treat each other in the family, in the community of God. And so it gives us those four things, and that's what we're going to be diving into today as we open up God's Word. And so we're going to be jumping around a lot of different verses today, so I don't have a main verse. But if you have your Bibles, just get ready to start flipping, because we're going to be jumping around a lot. I'll give you a heads up. We're going to be in James chapter 2, 19 here in just a second, so you can kind of get ahead of the game. But the first sentence, not even the first sentence, the first line in the Apostles' Creed, I think we have a picture of it, is this. It's very important. I'm sorry, that's really tiny. I tried to fit it all in there. But it's this. The very first part of the creed says, I believe in God the Father Almighty. And that's where we're going to stop today. That's so much truth packed into that tiny little phrase. And that's what we're going to begin to unpack and allow it to impact our life. I believe in God the Father Almighty. And so let's dive into that. The very first thing, I believe in God. And it's very important that we understand the words that we're saying when we say that. I believe in God, not I believe about God, not I know of God. I believe the things about Him, but I believe in Him. It's more than an intellectual knowledge about Him. It's from here to your heart. Because if you look, if you've gone to James 2:19, it says, you believe that there is one God, that's great. Even the demons believe that and shudder. And so it's not enough to have an intellectual knowledge about God and believe that He's there and believe the Scriptures and to have a head knowledge about it. We must take it a step further and believe in Him. And so I love that the creed says those specific words. We believe in God the Father Almighty. It's not just about believing about Him and doing the routine and the things that we go to church and learn. No, I believe in Him. It's just like this weekend was my birthday, and so me and my dad, we went to the zip line course at Red Mountain, and it was a lot of fun. We climbed this giant spiral staircase up into the sky, and then a 1,000-foot zip line all across the woods. And it was a lot of fun, but that's exactly what I'm talking about. When you see something, and I saw these zip line and all these cords and all these carabiners and all these safety things, I believe that they were there. You know, I saw it firsthand. It wasn't that I didn't think those things were real. Of course they were real because I saw them firsthand. But what really made my belief in that is when I trusted it and I went off the ledge about, you know, 60 feet in the air. That's when I believe in it. I can believe about it, but until I jump off that cliff and start believing in it, then my actions prove otherwise. And so we may believe about God, but do we believe in Him? And that's why I love what we talked about a few weeks ago. Romans 10:9 says this, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. He's saying it's so much more than head knowledge. You have to believe in your heart. Believe in Him. It's a heart belief that results in actions. An action that says, I would die for these things. I would die for the Lord. I believe in Him. I'm in. I'm all in. I believe in Him. I'm stepping out in faith, in obedience, in hope. I believe in God. And that's the first part of the Apostles' Creed. So much truth right there. And some of us need to claim that. I'm stepping out. I believe in it. I'm going to put my faith in it. I don't just believe about it. I'm putting my hope in it, my trust in it, my faith in God. There's so much goodness there. I believe in God. And so that's the first truth we really need to hang on to. In God, not about God. But we believe in Him. And our actions determine where we fall on that spectrum. I believe in God, the Father. The Father Almighty. And so that first part, I believe in God, the Father. And the order is important there. It says God, the Father first. Okay, if someone's a father, that must mean they have sons or daughters. And so that alludes to the doctrine of the Trinity. Throughout this whole creed, the Trinity is just sprinkled everywhere you read it. And so this is our first glimpse into the doctrine of the Trinity. And we support and we believe in the doctrine of the Trinity. If God is a Father, who is His Son? Jesus Christ. And that's the first part that we must examine. God the Father, who is the Father of Jesus Christ. And so God is the Father. That's very important. He is intensely personal. We must know Him as God the Father first. Intensely personal. Involved in our life. He's not this watchmaker God who kind of sets things going and then backs away. He is intimately involved and wanting to be involved in our life as a good Father. Father first. Father to whom first Christ. Always affirming and giving us a clear doctrine in the Trinity. Second, He is the Father to us. He is our Father. And that is so good and hopeful for many of us to hear. We need to know Him and we need to view Him as God the Father. And when we do, our perspective begins to change. We view Him as our provider. Father provides for His kids. And I just want to read a few verses. Ephesians 1:3 says, praise be to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms and with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So God the Father blesses us with His blessings. With spiritual blessings. God the Father blesses His children. The next one is 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Again, scripture after scripture alluding to God the Father providing and caring and giving to us His children. He is God the Father and I believe in Him. I believe He is who He says He is. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our trouble. He's a God who comforts us because He is our Father. He comforts us in our trouble. He has compassion for us. Because why? He is God the Father. The next one is James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. As a Father, He's constant, He's reliable, He's dependable. And some of us need to claim that truth today. He is God the Father, and I believe who He says He is, and He is our Father. And if we call Him Father, then the words give us intentional viewpoints of who He is. If we're calling Him that, that must mean we rely on Him as that. So as you call Him Father and you believe in Him as Father, view Him as your provider. View Him as the one to go to give you the things that you need constantly. Because as James says, every good and perfect gift is from Him. Because He's a Father who does not change like shifting shadows. And the last one is Matthew 7, 9-11, which is a familiar verse about the Father. It says this, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him?" He's a Father who loves to give good gifts to His children. When His children come to Him asking for requests and through prayer, through petition and intercession, He loves to answer those things. He loves to give us what we need. He loves to bless us. He is compassionate. That is what happens when we view Him as a Father. We get to view Him as our provider. Another awesome perspective of viewing God as the Father, if we adhere to the creed, "I believe in God the Father," is this. We have a new concept of sin. We view sin differently. No longer is it just us breaking these commands set by some distant deity. But we realize not only are we breaking commands, but we're breaking a heart. And there's emotions involved, and there's love that is broken. There's trust that is broken. It's not just commands that we read in an old book. It's a relationship that is now severed by you, the son or daughter, and a father. That gives us a new concept of sin, of what we do, the ramifications of what we do when we sin, because we're hurting a father. I love how Keith Drury puts it in his book, Common Ground. He says this, I love this, "Sin is not so much about violating a law as about breaking a relationship. Sin is much more about unreturned love than about broken commandments." Unreturned love. And when we view sin like that, because we view Him as a Father, that gives us a beautiful perspective of God. And it gives us a new perceptive of our sin. It makes us think twice about why we do what we do, because we believe in God as a Father. The last thing it does is a beautiful thing as well, because if I'm calling God the Father and you're calling God the Father, then that must mean we have some kind of connection. We're part of a family together. If you call Him Father and I call Him Father, that ties us together. And what's beautiful about this creed is because we're not the only ones that have been reading this. Churches have been reading this and quoting this and saying God the Father for centuries. And so we're part of a bigger family. And when we realize we're part of a family, that changes the way we treat each other, because we're in this together. I love the book of Malachi and what it says in chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "Do we not all have one Father? Did not one God create us? Why do we profane the covenant of our ancestors by being unfaithful to one another?" We are in this together. We are part of a family. And that's what the creed reminds us. It reminds us of the community that we're a part of. When we all together say, God the Father, we believe in Him as God the Father. Reminding us that we're part of a family. And so again, when we claim that and when we say those words, "I believe in God the Father," we're saying that He's our provider. We're having a new concept of sin and what we do and how it hurts God. And we're reminding ourselves we're part of a family, so let's treat each other like that. Because we're all in this together. If you go down, I go down, because we are a family. And that's what happens in the first few words of this creed. "I believe in God the Father." Right after that, it describes God again, but in a completely different way. I believe in God the Father Almighty. And so you have at the very beginning God the Father, this loving provider, caring God who loves His kids, who takes care and protects them. And then all of a sudden it shifts and it says God the Father Almighty. Almighty God. And when you look up verses in the Bible about God Almighty, you'll see it often refers to He can do whatever He wants. He is this mighty, omnipotent, all-knowing, all-powerful God, the Alpha and Omega, the creator of you and me. He can do whatever He wants because He's Almighty. Now that's a little different than what we just talked about, God the Father. Now it's shifting and saying, no, He's Almighty. You need to know Him. You need to fear Him. Have a proper reverence for Him as God Almighty. Some verses that allude to this of His mighty nature. He is God the Father Almighty. 2 Chronicles 25 verse 8. Even if you go and you fight courageously in battle, God will overthrow you before the enemy. For God has the power to help or to overcome. He can do whatever He wants because He's God Almighty. That's how He is. He can do whatever He wants. We are not in control. He is in control. And so we have God the Father, which is intimately personal. And then all of a sudden we have God Almighty, who is infinitely powerful. Intensely personal, and then bam, infinitely powerful. Another verse that describes Him is Job 26:12. By His power He chummed up the seas. By His wisdom He cut Rahab to pieces. He can do whatever He wants. He can churn the seas. He can stop the seas. He can cause them to roll. He can cause them to do whatever He wants. Because He's God Almighty. Psalm 115 verse 3. Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases Him. He does whatever pleases Him. He's God Almighty. The beginning, the end, all-knowing, all-powerful. Creator of this universe, creator of this world, everything we see. The power we see in the mountains, the power we see in the waves, is just a glimpse of how powerful He is. We get to see the Creator through His creation. And when you think of how powerful and magnificent some of His creation is, imagine how almighty He really is. And so we get a visual of two perspectives of God right there in that first phrase. I believe in God the Father Almighty. And again, that's what the creed does. It gives us symmetry. Because some of us fall on the spectrum and we begin to preach, you know, prosperity and God is a Father and He loves you. He wants the best for you. He's going to take care of you. He's not going to let anything bad happen to you. And we swing on this side of the pendulum. And that's why we must adhere to the creed, because it says, although He is those things, He's also God Almighty, who can do whatever He wants, who's in control. You must trust Him. Although it seems out of control in your hands, He is Almighty. And although it seems out of control, it is not out of His will. So you can trust Him because He is God Almighty. But He's also a Father. Both of those two things. And so again, with those two things, it gives us a beautiful balance of who God is to us. Because although some people preach just the Father side, some people also preach just gloom and doom and the mighty God. And that doesn't allude to a relationship. It just alludes to an unhealthy fear and a religion. But there's a balance here. And the creed gives us that balance. And so there's that dichotomy going on, because we see so much evil in the world, we can easily come to the conclusion and say this. Either He's a loving Father that's not all-powerful and He doesn't really love us, or He's a mighty God who isn't all that loving. And we can kind of come to that conclusion. Now, how can a loving God let this happen? Or how can an almighty God be so caring? And many of you know people that are like that. How can a loving God allow this to happen? Or how can an almighty God love me? But when you read the beginning of the creed, those questions are answered. Because He's both. He's a loving God who is almighty. Who's in control, although it doesn't seem. Who's loving you and fathering you. Growing you, changing you, pruning you. He's a Father and He's almighty. And so the creed gives us a beautiful balance. And sometimes when we begin to think on that line of, if He's a Father, why does He let bad things happen to me? Fathers don't do that. But if He's just almighty, how can He be empathetic to me? How can He know me? But when we see Him as both, it's a beautiful real picture of who God is. He is God the Father Almighty, a loving, powerful God who loves us intimately, but who is also in control. And we must trust Him. I love the Apostles' Creed and what it teaches us. And so some of you today need to experience Him as God the Father Almighty. For example, He doesn't allow you to be tempted beyond what you can stand. That's a father. He's watching out for you. He'll never lead you into a temptation that you and Him can't overcome. That's a father. He's in control even though it doesn't seem like it or make sense in your mind. Why? Because He's God Almighty. He's in control. We must trust Him. He empathizes with our weaknesses. Why? Because He's a father and He knows what we're going through. He has destroyed death already. Why? Because He's Almighty, all-powerful God. He gives you what you need. Why? Because He's a father. He's already defeated the one who's seeking to destroy you. Why? Because He's Almighty. And I believe in God the Father Almighty. And that's what we say when we read the Creed. And we're not just saying it to say it. We're saying it out of a response of what we believe. And we're not saying it because we believe about it. We believe in it. And we get a beautiful picture of who God is when we call Him Father Almighty. And so in closing, let's pray that prayer. And I'm going to read the Apostles' Creed and let it just pour over you. Let the truth of Scripture just pour and fall on you as we read and declare together as a church what we believe. So I know that graphic is too small to read, but I want to read it. If you can read it with me. It says this: I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Amen. And this is the creed that gives us clarity, that gives us community, that gives us symmetry when we approach the world that is throwing everything at us to believe this, to believe that. May we adhere to this, not because it's the authority of God, but because it points us to God and the authority that we derive from Scripture. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. Let's pray. Lord, many of us in this room need to experience You as one or the other, but certainly both. We need to know that You're near us, that You're close to us, that You're working on our behalf, because You're a Father. But we also need to relinquish control of the situation that we're trying to hold on to. Why? Because You're Almighty, and nothing is out of Your control. Although it seems that way many times to us. You are faithful, You are steadfast, You are reliable, because You are God Almighty. You're all-knowing, You're all-powerful. You're the beginning and the end. And we can trust You with whatever we're going through. And Lord, we don't just believe those things about You. We believe in them. And may those words result in action in our life this week. May we do things because we believe that You are who You say You are. God the Father, Almighty. And we believe in You. We believe that with our hearts. We say that with our voices. So teach us to adhere to this. Teach us to see You as God the Father Almighty. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, let's remain standing just for 1 minute. And I want to do something that I may fall flat on my face, but I just want to try it because I've been working with the kids, and so when I work with the kids, I work with them. You know, they respond, and I ask them questions, and it keeps them interested and focused. So I'm not going to do it for that reason. I'm going to do it for the reason that I say these things, and I want to give you a chance to say these things. That I believe in God the Father Almighty. And so for many of you, you've experienced one or both or either of those attributes of God in a very specific way. You've experienced Him recently as a Father, or you've experienced Him recently as Almighty, Sovereign, All-Knowing, All-Powerful God. Or maybe you've experienced Him as both simultaneously, and that's awesome. So again, it's okay if no one shares anything, but I just want to give you a chance to maybe share how you've experienced God recently as one of those attributes, God the Father or God Almighty. And so we'll just leave it open just for the next few moments. We're not going to be here all day. But if you have something to share, I'd love for you to share that with all of us so we can be blessed by what God's doing in you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lane. We'll allow these things to be a way you experience Him this week. Look for opportunities to experience Him as a Father and a Sovereign Almighty God. So Lord, go with us now. Give us eyes to see You as both of those things in our life. And as Mr. Pear said, and I completely agree, may it be so much deeper than just an intellectual knowledge about You. But may it be an adherence. May it result in obedience of faith and love and trust in You. So may we as a corporate body today, we say to You, Lord, I believe in God the Father Almighty. Go with us now to do that. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.